The White House wants a special corporate tax to fix roads and bridges. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. President Obama will reveal details of a budget plan that he'll ask Congress to chew on. New information is emerging this morning on a piece of this that'll be especially controversial. The president is proposing a tax on the foreign earnings U.S. companies stash abroad. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore is here. Sabri, what are details?
The president wants a one-time 14% tax on all the money that U.S. corporations have made overseas that these companies are stashing abroad right now. And he's also proposing that from now on, when a company earns money overseas, that company pays 19% tax on that money, whether or not they bring it back to the U.S.
That sounds substantial.
Yes, it is and it isn't. So right now, if a company makes money overseas, they don't have to pay almost any taxes on it until they bring it back to the U.S. So 19% is a big increase from zero. But once companies do bring their foreign earnings home, the corporate tax rate is 35%. So what the president's proposing is obviously far less than that. The thing is that some companies, like Apple, for example, just keep their foreign earnings abroad indefinitely, so they don't pay much or any taxes on it. There's about $2 trillion of this money out there right now.
And how's this proposal going to fly in Congress?
Well, you know, the president sort of sweetened the idea by using the money, $238 billion, for roads and bridges and transit systems. That's something that Republicans have expressed some interest in. But if they view it as a tax hike on U.S. businesses, they're not really going to go along with it.
All right, Sabri, thank you very much. Let's check the numbers. The FT 100 is up 0.3% in London. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up. So last night at the Super Bowl, two things happened nearly simultaneously. Butler picked off the pass at the one-yard line to secure the Patriots' win, and pre-printed Patriots' win commemorative gear went on sale. It's a huge industry, and a lot of that stuff is fake. Federal investigators have been trying to crack down. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson has more.
So you buy a cheap counterfeit jersey, or maybe a fake Prada handbag. What's the big deal? Alan Zimmerman is a professor of international business at the City University of New York. He says most people think it's a victimless crime.
Sometimes we call it a Robin Hood syndrome, you know, taking away from these rich firms, maybe thinking that they're rewarding a small local manufacturer, which often isn't the case.
Actually, you could be supporting organized crime, says Brian Cox. He's with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, one of the government agencies involved in Operation Team Player.
Counterfeit products are just a black market revenue stream for criminal organizations to fund their large-scale activities. Everything from guns, drugs, violence, you name it.
So law enforcement works with ports and the post office to try and keep goods from getting into the country, and with marketplaces like Amazon or eBay to try and close online sales. But even still, Cox says counterfeiting remains a multi-billion dollar industry. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
Do you toil in a distributed work environment? Now, my boss routinely sits in an office that's 2,740 miles away from mine. The question for employees is how do you manipulate? I'm sorry, did I say manipulate? I meant how do you manage the boss when they're across town or across the country or the world? Keith Ferrazzi is the CEO of Ferrazzi Greenlight, a research-based consulting and training company. His article, Working Smoothly with a Virtual Boss, was in a recent Harvard Business Review. Mr. Ferrazzi, thanks for doing this.
Thanks a lot for having me.
All right. So I'm trying to learn how to work with the virtual boss here. Don't tell me I have to have more meetings and more Skype video calls. I can't take it.
It's not about more. It's actually about better. When you're virtual, you better do everything that you need to be doing if you were co-located, but just more intently.
You point out a big mistake, and it has something to do with talking honestly. Tell me about that.
Conflict avoidance is one of the most erosive elements of large organizations. If you're in a virtual relationship with somebody, get agreement up front that you are going to work hard to be candid in this relationship. Well, just think, how many times have you been in a meeting where the real conversation starts in the hallways after the meeting has just happened? All the time.
Now, Keith, I can just imagine in a place like Silicon Valley, there's a pile of men and women who say, I have a technological solution to some of this. I mean, you advocate embracing some of the stuff that you can do to keep lines of communication more organized.
Yeah, I would say the number one thing that you can do technologically is turn on the video. Your ability to go from a simple phone call where a pause in your mind might mean that the person is angry or disappointed or checked out from you, when in actuality, it may just be a nodding head.
And here's a variant of that that you list. I thought I had it personally, invented it. Turns out other great minds have figured it out. The virtual wormhole. What's that, like putting up a screen that's constantly linked with video and audio?
So we have an office in both New York and in Los Angeles. And what we actually do is we keep an open video line from my desk to the desk of those who are in New York. And as a result, at any point, somebody can just raise their hand if I happen to be at my desk, and we can have an open conversation. It's very powerful.
All right. Keith Ferrazzi is the CEO of Ferrazzi Greenlight, a research-based consulting and training company. His piece about working smoothly with the virtual boss is in the Harvard Business Review. You may also know his book, Never Eat Alone. Keith Ferrazzi, thank you.
It was a lot of fun. Thanks.
And workers at 9 oil refineries and chemical plants from Texas to Washington State went on strike yesterday. The United Steelworkers are trying to get a nationwide contract. Management halted negotiations over the weekend after the union rejected a fifth offer. Management employees have been brought in to keep the plants going. Crude in Texas is up 2% to $49.23 a barrel at the moment. You may see the retail prices change before I do, but we'll be monitoring as well. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.